easy as it seems. First of all, why do we have a Shavuot Seder? What are we trying to accomplish? And then, once we know what we're trying to accomplish, figure out how we accomplish it. So I wrote down here, there are four goals of learning the Shavuot Seder. Sounds like that. You thought there was only one. The four goals. First obvious goal is so you know the halacha. That's important, because if you don't know the halacha, Shabur himself says it. If you don't know the halacha, you're bound to do averes. Even if you know enough to ask, it's not so good, because in many, many situations, you don't have the time or the ability to ask. It's not so easy to ask Shaiva, especially when you're out of the yeshiva and there's no people around. You have to, you know, you have to pass in on your own. So if you don't know the halachas, you're bound to do averes. Now, to make an added, using the same svara that we mentioned about sometimes this is shalodishma of other people adds in, it's also very, very embarrassing if you don't know halacha. Because Rav Shiva used to always say this, that you're a lamdan, no one will know. Because no one can tell the difference between a lamdan and not a lamdan. The fact that you can be medayik and rip apart a taisis and medayik between the havin and maskana, whatever it is, nobody in the world will know. But that you don't know your halacha, and everyone else, you go on a date, and the first thing you're going to ask, you go up and say, what bracha do you make on this? Say, oh, I don't know, we'll make him a zonus, and you go with them. It don't sound good. You know, you're already flunked. I don't flunk, because that's probably what the fast guy told her also, so it won't sound so bad. But it doesn't sound good. And when your wife asks you a shayla and halacha, and you say, I don't know, how am I supposed to know? And she says, you know, haven't you been learning for 10 years in yeshiva? Says, yeah, but I don't know halacha. It don't sound good. It is really very, very embarrassing. So, and of course, if you become a rabbi, it's really embarrassing, you know, or in trouble if you don't know. So you gotta know halacha. The first goal of Mishnah Berurah is that you should know halacha. So if yeshayda comes up, you know the answer. For that, you have to learn relatively slow and carefully, because if you smear it, it doesn't do any good, because you don't remember anything. So if you don't remember it, you don't know the halacha. Right? You want to be able, when you're on the, you know, you're somewhere and the shayda comes up, you want to know right away, what bracha do you make on this food? You don't have to go run and get a mishnah brura and look it up. You know, you're in a restaurant. What bracha do I make on this? You know, who am I going to call? You know, so you want to know the halacha. So for that, you have to learn slowly. You have to chazer. You have to take notes. Chazer the notes. Unless you're a genius, you will not remember, unless you learn over a few times. Okay. So that's just the most simple goal of Mishnah Berurah. The second goal of Mishnah Berurah is, in the Maisa, to be realistic, there are things that we will not remember. And we're going to have to look up the Shaila. But a person should at least know how to look up a Shaila. I mean, where to find the Shailas. Which means you need bikkias in the Mishnah Berurah. Now, there are certain very, very elementary bikkias. You should know what Chedek Arishon talks about, and what Chedek Sheni talks about, and what Chedek Shlishi talks about, and where you'll find Hilchos Muksa, and where you'll find... But, and then there's some complicated bikkias, which is not so simple. And that, you get that by learning. If you learn the whole thing, for example, where do you find Hilchos Tochacha in the Mishnah Berurah? The guys should know this one. Where? You're close. Erev Yom Kippur. That's right. Okay. What's it doing there? It's doing there. I don't know what it's doing there. This one, I don't think too many people will know. I heard this from someone. I don't know if I would know. Someone told me it's tricks. Let's say the Mishnah Berurah does not have simanim on the Lamed Tes Malachos. He doesn't have. He has on some of them. Seida, Kshira, Ksiva. And a lot of malachas he doesn't have. So let's say I want to look up a shayla, which is nogeya, to one of the lamed tes malachas that he doesn't have a particular siman on. I don't think he has on, I don't know, ksiva, I don't know if he has, you know, there are plenty of malachas he does not have. How do you find that malacha in the Mishnah Berurah? So this is a good trick. that at the very end of Chayre Gimel, which is in the Shar Tzion, he goes through the Lamedes Melachos and he tells you where they're found, scattered all over. He'll say, here, Ksiva is in, and I can't find it at this moment. No, I just don't find Ksiva. Kosev and Moichach is Simin Shem Mem. Boinev is Saiser, Shin Yud Gimel, Shin Yud Dalich, and Tesvav. Mechaber, Maber, Reishnun, Heim, Shin Lamedar. Okay, anyway, it's a good trick. You know what? No, it tells you where in the Shulchanar, but that's where the Mishabur is. If you know where the Gemaras are, yeah, that would work too. Okay. Anyway, but there are certain tricks and there are certain materials. So the second thing of Eri Mishabura is you have to know where the Shinas are. You have to be able to, relatively quickly, when a Shina comes up, you can pull out the Mishabura and look things up. And if you never went through the Mishabura the first time, and even if you went through it, even if you forgot, then you know where to find things. Okay. Now the third goal is probably the hardest goal. And that is that even, let's say you know where to find the Mishabura, and you know how to read them, and you read the Mishabura, most people do not know how to paskin when they, after they finish reading a Mishabura. It's very, very complicated, especially since very often he doesn't say clearly, this is the halacha. So you got to get used to the way he speaks. And then what do you do at the end? Especially what happens when he quotes five different opinions. So Benara quotes two opinions, and Mishabura quotes two opinions, and Ramah quotes two opinions. You know, what do you do? So there's a certain familiarity. Maybe if we have time, we'll try and go through it a little bit. Of language. But you get, by reading, when you, after a while, you get used to his style. Also, you have to, you get, you see this from Svarim, from talking to people. You find out the language of the Mishabura. It's just like learning Rashi. You have to, it takes a while to get used to Rashi's nuances, so then you can be, start being Medayek in Rashi. The same thing is true. The Mishabura has his own style. And unless you are a Baki, you can, only a person who read a lot of Mishabura, so he's like, he's familiar how the Mishabura talks, can really learn Mishabura properly. You have to like, get into his language. Svarim have different languages. It's very true. Tysus has his style. Rashi has a little bit of his style. And Mishabura has his own unique style. And it takes time to get it. Okay. And the fourth thing, which I think is also very important, is that many Shaitas are not in the Mishabura, especially modern day Shaitas. And you have to be able to apply the Mishabura to modern day situations. And for that, you have to be able to think things out. And also, you have to be able to know how to find the modern day Svarim. Because the modern day Svarim supplement a lot of applications. So you have to know how to use, you know, in the Hebrew Svarim, there's a lot of, there's Shmirah Shabbos Kilchasam, which is a very important sefer during Shabbos, which you also have to know how that's organized. You have to know how to use, you know, the Brachas books, if you're in Hilchos Brachas, if you want to know the English books, you know, whatever. But you have to, you have to know how to use a Ramesha. How do you find something in an Igris Moshe? Right, there are a lot of Svarim out there. You also have to know how to use the Svarim that the Mishabura quotes. Very often, Mishabura himself will quote something, but he's ambiguous, and you want to look up the source inside. How do you look up the source? So how do you look up the source of the Mishabura? Because the Shar Tzion usually footnotes where the Sefer is, where he's quoting, what he's quoting, and then you have to, many guys don't know where these Svarim are. Okay. Where do you find a Prima Gadim? In the Torah? No. In the Shulchan Aruch? Where in the Shulchan Aruch? In the back. 99%, you go look in the back, you won't find it, because don't say anywhere Prima Gadim. It's not there. But it is there. It just has a different name, right? So you have to know that this different sefer with a different name is really the Prima Gadim. What's the name of the sefer that's really Prima Gadim? Esher Avraham, and the Torah is up. But there's another Esher Avraham, which is not the Prima Gadim. You have to know which Esher Avraham is the Prima Gadim, right? And where do you find the Master Sashako? Master Sashako? Okay. Under the Magen Avraham. You got to know where you start by. Rashiberg Stam told me a nice insight. It's not the Gaya that much, but it is no Gaya, if you know Mishabura, but that there are some times that the Mishabura says things and he does not footnote it. So then what are you doing? And you want to look it up. There's a number of places like that. For example, his whole giant introduction to Hilchus Muksa in Shinches. He has an introduction, I think, to Hilchus Chazara, Bishul. In a number of places, he has long introductions to Simonim, where he does not usually footnote those. A few other places. So Rashabrik says, I don't know the explanation for this why, but he says that when he quotes, seems to be saying things without quoting, it usually came from the Gimel Reish Zion. Who is the Gimel Reish Zion? Who's the grad? The Balatanya, thank you. So that's the Shulchan Aruch Harav, right? So the Shulchan Aruch Harav is, that's the, which he actually owns more than one copy, and that's, if when there's no footnotes, that's where it comes. Okay, anyway, but these are all familiarity. When you learn Mishnah Berurah, and you start looking at, I don't expect this to happen right away this year, but if you do it for 14 years, after a while, you become familiar. Okay, 17 years. Then you become familiar. You go through. You look up the sources. You get up. You see where he's quoting. You see what the people. You get a certain familiarity.
Okay.
Yeah, I think so. Because you want to know when you learn Mishnah Berurah. For sure, what you have to do, and I wanted to get into the language a little bit, but what you have to do, thank you. Put this down. You have to know, you should, whenever you learn Mishnah Berurah for sure, you should stop at the end of the siman and say, okay, how do we, let me, the ma'isa, halacha the ma'isa, what do I do? That's the best way of knowing if you understood it, and you took it out, you summarized, you think, okay, here's a scenario. What happens if? And you make up a scenario. I go to the store and I go to the restaurant and they serve me this, this, and this. What bracha do I make? I come to the, whatever it is, you create a logical scenario and you ask yourself, what do we do? Now, some of these scenarios involve modern day cases. You read the Mishnah Berurah and Hilchus Bishul, Hilchus Chazara. Yeah. Anyone read Chazara? But the Mishnah Berurah doesn't talk about our ovens and stoves. So, you have to know. So how does that apply to Maisa with a stove, with a blech, with a hot plate? There's all kinds of, with inside the stove, on top of the stove. Just reading the Mishnah Berurah talking about a middle-aged stove don't help you any. You have to apply it to a blech, to a hot plate. And there's, inside the oven, and then there's these steam heaters, and there's what the caterers use, and time clocks, there's all kinds of different ways that they do things, there are dimmers, and, there's all kinds of interesting things today. So that's called knowing the halacha well. When you read the Mishnah Berurah, now you want to apply it. Otherwise, you didn't really get anything. Shabbat is not an Ian Sefer. It's a halacha Seder. So you got it. Usually, if you really know the halacha well, you could figure out how it applies to some of these things. But it takes thinking, applying. Sometimes you can't. You have to look at modern day Svarim. So you have to know how to use the modern day Svarim. In today's world, many different topics have their own modern day Sefer. So you have to know that if you're learning Hishayin Hilchus Muksa, you look up in this Sefer. If it's Hishayin Hilchus Bishul, you look in this Sefer. If it's Hishayin, there are different Svarim on different topics that help you out. Okay, anyway, if Hishayin Hilchus Prophet, what?
Why didn't you just read them out of the Sefer?
Because, first of all, because we want you to know, there's no modern day Sefer on every topic. There's only on scattered topics. And we want you to know how to read the Mishnah Berurah. Because Mishnah Berurah is the basis and the foundation, for there'll be many topics, there's no modern day Sefer. Second of all, even on Hilchus Shabbos, Mishnah Berurah gives you, because he does it in a certain the Reshiva used to believe that a guy who goes through Mishabura knows it better. Then when you're there for the Mara, they say, for he used to feel very strongly that when you give it on a silver platter, it just goes in one ear and out the other. You don't recall it, you don't really understand it. It's sometimes the confusion of the Mishnah Berurah helps the person understand it better. It's more depth in the Mishnah Berurah. It's written in more depth, and it's written, I see, in more confusion, and it allows you to really understand it. He says, you know, you ask the girls who come back from their seminaries in Israel, and they'll say, oh, we did this in seminary. I got it in my notebook. He pulls out a notebook like this, that. But they don't remember it that often, because it's given to you on a silver platter too simply. Without, very often you need those complications and to help you to give you the depth of understanding. Also, sometimes, you know, we the yeshiva's personal shita that we filed the Mishnah Berurah against him in the Mara Dei Paiskim, so it's important to know that too. Okay. Oh, a lot of them.
But how
all
are we
them.
Supposed to know which one you pass on Mishnah?
So you have to, you know, while you're in Mishnah Berurah, you got to talk to people, and you know, there's a lot of. It's not, I mean, I'm talking about, you know, this is a 14 year project. So you gotta talk to people, you gotta find out what do we do. I know, when I was learning Misafta Shabbos in the Kolo, so I worked very hard on Mishnah Berurah because then I was coming learning, well, you know, Shmo Halacha. And I did it, you know, with a half a year in Israel. I went almost every week to Rav Scheinberg to ask him, how do we paskin, you know, Mishnah Berurah Shabbos. And I have to say, just there's nothing to do with anything, but I was amazed. I would try and prepare, like, around five, you know, spheres and Mishnah Berurahs, or vague Mishnah Berurahs, whatever. And I would come in, I would say, well, there's a sphere in the Mishnah Berurah between, you know, in Simon Shin Yud Ches and Shimon Reishon and Gimel and Hilchos Bishah. Oh, you mean Mishnah Berurah, Kuf Lamed Daled, and the verse against the Shartzi and Tzadik Hei? Yeah, that's the one. it happened, I think, every week. I mean, it must happen, you know, at least 50 times. I don't know, exaggerate, but close to that. In other words, whenever I would start asking him something, he would tell me the Sifkatan of the Mishnah Berurah or the Shartzian of what I was quoting. Now, I never knew the Sifkatan, but he knew whenever I started quoting. And he knew not only did he know what he said, but he knew this the letter. And I was like blown out of my mind. Anyway, and he also knew the answer, usually.
And
why? Because he was, I don't know, because he learned it a lot. But he learned this, but there are rules. And he had, I tried to write down, when I went to him, I tried to get rules. How you pass him. There are rules. I like to try and get a chance to go over a little bit. But what?
What if a person's not planning on learning 14 years?
So then for sure you gotta know your Mishnah Berurah. So whatever you know, you know. You know, you're gonna be home. It's really, you know, I don't know if this is a true story. I have no idea if this is a true story. I didn't hear from anyone reliable. I heard it from a guy who, I don't know if it's reliable. But he told me it's a cute story. Whether it might not be true, but all these cute stories. He said that when Rashida got married, right after she got married, there was some kind of halachic shy that came out. So the Rebbetzin of Hashanah took out a Mishnah Berurah to start looking it up. You know, the Rebbetzin was a very learned lady. She grew up in Ranin. She knew that met the Chofetz Chaim. You know, she grew up with, you know, her father was one of the Rish Hashiva, her grandfather was the Granat, the Rish Hashiva of Ranin. Her father was also one of the Rish Hashivas, you know, maybe not officially, but unofficially was one of the Rish Hashivas, you know. So, you know, Bishara Shai came up. So the story goes, Rish Hashiva took the Mishnah Berurah and said, I'll look up the Shai. But if you want to be able to do that, you know, you don't want your wife looking up the Shiloh. You want that you can look up the Shiloh.
So
she
did it
up. Yeah, she definitely held that way. I mean, I don't know if the story is true, but the Ashkafas for sure, she was very big on that the husband is the boss in Halacha in the house. So very important for Shalom Bayis. And if your wife knows, she's going to know she's going to come home from seminary, and she's going to know a lot of stuff, and you're not going to know this, it ain't good. It ain't not good. So you got to learn some halacha, you know. Or make sure you marry a girl and go to seminary. Then you will know halacha, okay? Okay, you won't be conscious. We'll have shalom bayis. Anyway, I just wanted to quickly go over one or two things in the Mishnah Berurah. Leaving what happens when the Mechaber quotes a few different opinions, that's a different topic. Not for now. When the Mishnah Berurah quotes a few different opinions, so how are you supposed to, what are you supposed to do? So obviously the reason why he's quoting a few opinions means that if it's very easy to be machmir, you should do both. Be machmer for both. Otherwise, if he felt that one opinion is totally thrown out la halacha, and we don't hold it at all, so what is he bothering quoting it for? So he quotes two opinions. He means that if it's no big deal, that's even halacha. Even when you say sabek draban akula, if it's efshuri zara bekalas, you're supposed to be machmer. So if there is no big deal, obviously you're supposed to keep both. But what if it's a little difficult? That's right. If it's easy to do both, then that's what you're supposed to do. That's the halacha. If it's easy to do both, then quote both, because you're supposed to do both. But okay, I'm getting there. So what if it's hard to do both? Because it's a hefsid mamin, it's agnes nefesh, it's a tircha. So when do you know that you're saying that you're obligated to do this? And when not? It quotes two opinions. One's Mega and one's Machmer. So the first rule is, and this is something that takes practice, you have to, many Mishnah Berurahs, most Mishnah Berurahs, I don't say most, but I think most, you're supposed to be able to tell from the way he wrote it which opinion is he's giving more credence to. Which means, if when he wrote the word avol, umiyu, so those are words that are unknown, that apply, however, that means that however he disagrees, by saying however, you're implying that he's, you know, even though he said this, however, so and so said differently. That word however, very often it just says he says this and he says this. Right? But if he says this, however he says this, right? So the word however implies that the second opinion is the ikar, right? You hear that? Otherwise it should just listen to. The Magen Avraham said this, Bagra says this, which he does very often. But if he says the Magen Avraham says this, Aval Hagra says this, that means that he's saying the Gra is the ikar. If he quotes an opinion without giving any names, which happens also very often, and then he says, and someone disagrees, and he mentions his name. So the fact that he quoted the first opinion, Stam, nameless, implies that it's more important. This is a Stamma, this is a Pashtus. The other opinion is only one opinion, while this is the majority opinion. I don't have names. It's like everybody holds this way. So the opinion that's without names is more important. If he quotes one opinion with names, what? I'm getting the patience. I get there. If he quotes one opinion with names, with these things in order makes no difference so far. It's because you can tell, it's clear from his language. The fact that one is Stam and one is with a name, usually the Stam opinion would come first. If he quotes one with the name and the other one he just says Yesh Omer, he doesn't bother telling you his name. So that's also a sign that he's not machshev as much. Because why does he name him? Right? So if he quotes it as Stam, if he quotes it Stam, that means it's the most chashev. And if he says Yesh Omer without a name, that's the least chashev. Right? Doesn't that make sense? Stam is the most chashev, that's what everyone holds. If he gives it a name, it's in the middle. And if he gives it a yesharim, it's the least chashim. There are certain achleinim that he seems to hold that are the main ones. So, like if they're in the mix, you can sort of assume that we're passing that way. Which are the achleinim that the Mishnah Berurah from your familiarity seems to always follow the your rabbi. I'm not sure. Maybe I don't know. Could be. Could be. The gra. The gra is way. You see from his language that the gra always gets in there. The Magen Avram usually, and I think the Chai Adam is a very, very much. But really, the gra and the Magen Avram. Like if there's a Magen Avram in the Tad, you can usually assume the Magen Avram wins. The gra. All right. Anyway. So those are now what?
What if it's the Magen Avraham in the Grosh?
I don't know. Don't know. Then you what?
No, the Avos, that
comes first. Now if let's see, where we're going, I forgot where I'm up to. Now what if there's no indication whatsoever? You just have two opinions. And there's absolutely no indication whatsoever. So like most things in the world, we have a machlekes. Rav Scheinberg felt that in that case, the Mishabura is saying that he doesn't know. And it's a 50-50 suffix.
Mm-hmm.
And when you have a 50-50 suffix, then the halacha is you apply the principle of suffix deraisa the chumra and suffix drabon the kula, except that if you can be, like we said, if you can be nisr bekaros, you're supposed to be nisr.
Mm-hmm.
The Rashiva felt that there is some rule somewhere that when everything is exactly equal, then the second opinion, since you said it last, implies to be the ikker. Rashiva was not, I don't think Rashiva said that though for sure, but I think that's where she was inclined. And, okay, what is
Scheinberg ever said that?
What? Scheinberg
ever said
it? What, the second way? No. Scheinberg said that the Mishabura goes the other way, that he goes, Suffolk the Rise of the Chumra, and Jabbar, and the Kula. Rashiva said, I believe he said he heard from Rav David the other way. You know, I'm pretty sure I quoted from Rav David. But I don't think she didn't say what I want. Sometimes she would say things with a lot of conviction, and I don't think he said this with a lot of conviction. That's my right. But that's what he did say.
I mean, if he says Harbe Achronim, is that like a stam also?
Yeah, that sounds good. Yeah, like you have to be able. After you learn a lot of Mishnah Berurah, you begin to notice the nuances. That between here he says it this way and here he says it that way, but that takes time to learn. That's what you have to learn a lot. That's one of the things that takes a lot of learning. Okay. Another interesting thing, which I'm sure you people might have heard, but I was only saying it's another machlekes Rashiim Rav Scheinberg, which is gets to the is that when he says the Shabura sometimes will use a lashon Bal Nefesh Yachmir. Sometimes he'll say Yerei Shemayim Yachmir. Sometimes he uses all kinds of different shyness. Rashiva, I wrote down here all this, she says, Efshar Dehakol B'Shaasar Gadol, Efshar Dehakol B'Shaasar Tchak, Efshar Dehakol B'Shaasar Tzarech, Safek Deraisa Lechumra, Ein Mimchus B'Yadam, Meikol Lo Hitzit, all kinds of different shyness. Anyway, Rashiva held that each one has its own nuance, and you gotta know, of course, not so easy. For example, this got me real mixed up. It says you have in the Mishabur in a few places Hamavarek Lel Hifzit. Sounds like a nice one. So I know Rav Scheinberg that he's telling me that Hamavarek Lel Hifzit means but better don't do it. Lel Hifzit, but here we know Safik Brachos Ahakol. You're not supposed to do it. Better don't do it, but if you do it, you won't burn. You know, sorry Lel Hifzit, but Lachatchila you shouldn't do it. I never thought that way, but that's what Scheinberg taught. You have to know each lashon. Rashiva held that when it says Bal Nefesh Yachmir, it means all those are shy. It means you should. You're about Bal Nefesh means if you're worried about your life, you worry about your nefesh. He says all of us don't worry about our nefesh, and therefore you have to be machmir. Obviously, he says you should be machmir, but feirish, then you gotta be machmir. But Rashiva held the chiddush that if he says Yerei Shemayim Yachmir, so Yerei Shemayim is already a miyut. Why did he say Bal Nefesh Yachmir? Just Yerei Shemayim Yachmir. Yerei Shemayim means you have to be a Bal Madrega to be Machmir. So then Rashiva held that we're not on the Madrega of Yerei Shemayim, we're only Bal Nefesh, most of us, unless you feel you're otherwise, but Rashiva felt that we are, generally speaking, only Madrega of a Bal Nefesh and not a Yerei Shemayim, and therefore we only have to be Machmir for Bal Nefesh, but not for Yerei Shemayim. There are places in the Shiva Mishaburi. If you pay attention, you'll see. Many times he says Bal Nefesh, by a carry, a reshita, whatever. And many times he says Yerei Shamayim. So Reshiva held that they don't mean the same, and we only keep Yerei Shamayim, and not Yerei Shamayim. Scheinberg said that they mean the same thing, and it's just he uses different Ashayas in this case to mean the same thing, and you should keep both. But okay. What? Yeah, it's very easy to keep. You should also say you keep, you know, very easy, you should keep. But if it's not simple to keep, the Shiva held that Yerei Shamayim you don't have to keep. That's like a fakir, it's a mir. Yerei Shamayim Yachmir. But what about not a Yerei Shamayim yet? I didn't reach that club of Yerei Shamayim. I'm just, you know, I'm a lower level. I'm just worried about my life. Anyway, there's a lot of. It really takes a long time to get into getting Mishabura property. Now, obviously, the more you do, but there's a lot of things. Okay,
well. On all events, it's going to be difficult to circumstance.
No. No, I didn't say that. I never said that. I said that if, I said the other way, that if it's easy, even if he says clearly that the halacha is like the other opinion, since he brought it, why did he bother bringing it? Unless he's telling you that it's proper to keep if it's easy. Because if let's say he says the Farish, he quotes two opinions, they said the halacha can make kedem. So, but why did he bother quoting the other opinion for it? He's telling you that there is a disagreement, so if it's easy, you should keep that opinion. You should keep both. But if he paskin, if we can be mitayin from his lashon that he's paskining, then there ain't such a hetzer just because it's not so easy. Maybe if it's really hard, then you get to have to shas of chak. There is certain a term of shas of chak. But just because it's a little hard, that's not there's no hetzer.
You know, according to
two equal opinions, so according to Rosh Yeshiva, you go the second is by definition the ikur. According to Scheinberg, he's saying suffik deraisa the chumra and rabban the kula. Scheinberg, okay.
If you're supposed to learn it slowly, so then isn't it better to first learn kitzur and then
maybe. There was in general, there was a very big gadol told me, this is really a different point. We got to go to Minmarit, I'm sorry. But a very big gadol told me that he highly recommends that Americans read kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Because he said that American chinuch has its advantages and disadvantages over Israeli chinuch. Now, we think so. The advantage is that Americans are much more into analyzing. When they're young, Israel, they teach the kids a tremendous information. But there are, because of the chisarnis, there are certain things that Americans never heard of. And you have guys, it's mamish, and it happens, I was just recently telling someone, there's a friend, someone I know, who's a chashuva physician, he told me that for years he was passing one because he never heard of a certain halacha. Someone, and it was, you know, he just never knew there was such an isser. He didn't, you know, one of the Tariag mitzvahs, he never heard of it. I didn't know. Well, because it wasn't in the beginning of one of the seven mesachtas. Yeah. So there, you know, that was a kosher guy in the yeshiva. So it wasn't his address, it was only his address by. Okay. But this Gadol Tzvi Rav Shulman told me that he highly recommends that Americans read through the Kitzur quickly. So they should get an overview. Because otherwise there's certain amaratzes. It's almost comical sometimes, certain amaratzes things that people do. Because they just never learned it. They never heard of it. They don't know that there's such a shaida. They don't even know that there's a topic. So, especially when you get past Arachayim, when you get into Yoredeya and Chodesh Mishpat and Eben Ezra, there's certain concepts that guys never heard of. And therefore, that's what he told me, that he would recommend that, you know, that if the kids are reads like water, you know, just quickly read, you know, half a page, whatever it is, of Kitzur, and not so that you know all of it, but just so that you heard of all the concepts, because the Kitzur has basically all Arba Chavya Shulchan Aruch concepts in there. So that was his recommendation. Okay.